exams.
Okay, so we'll continue with chapter 2. Tonight we'll go from verses 39 to 43. So it's not a great number of verses. However, these verses are extremely important in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So as we go through them, you'll see the importance of some of these verses and why. Okay, so we'll begin with text number 39. Okay, everyone get settled, concentrate. An intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear should give up all attachment to material objects, such as wife, family, nation, and should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, the bearer of the chariot wheel. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe his transcendental birth and activities, which he performs within this world for the salvation of conditioned souls. Thus, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. Chandan, read the first paragraph.
Since the holy names form the pastimes of Supreme Personality of Godhead are unlimited, no one can hear or chant about all of them. Therefore, the word "Lord" indicates that one should chant the holy names of the Lord that are well known on this particular planet. Within this word, Lord Ram and Lord Krishna are very famous. Their books Ramayana and Bhagavad Gita are studied and published all over the world. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is gradually becoming famous all over the world, as he himself predicted. In every town and village of this earth, the glories of my name will be chanted. Therefore, in conformity with the wise statement of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna consciousness movement professes the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, along with the Panch Tattva Maha Mantra, Sri Shrivatanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Radhara, Sri Vasadi, Kaur Bhaktivinoda.
Very good. So this is the first paragraph of this very important verse. So if we look into the context of this chapter, what is the verse answering? What question?
What is the Supreme Good? What is the Supreme Good?
Very good, very good. A number of questions will be asked throughout this chapter. So what the very first question is, what is the supreme good? So is this an important question?
Yes.
Yeah, incredibly important. This is like one of the most important questions in life. What is the supreme good? So from verses 33 to 43, you get the answer to this question. What is the supreme good? Now, this particular verse, it is extremely important. One of the principal subject matters of the Bhagavatam is to glorify the process of chanting the holy name. Because the chanting of the holy name is the Yuga Dharma. And it's the most powerful way to establish love of Godhead, or to understand the absolute truth. It is the most powerful process. Of all processes of perfection, there's no more powerful process than Harinam Anukirtanam, chanting the holy names of Krishna. So, it is being mentioned here. Throughout the Bhagavatam, we see the Bhagavatam in the very first chapter of the first canto and the very, very final verse of the 12th canto, and many, many verses in between, they glorify the holy name. It's one of the principal subject matters of the Bhagavatam. One of the main purposes of the Bhagavatam is to establish the potency of chanting the holy name. This verse is very famous and is well known, and it is a very powerful verse, which explains the glory of chanting the holy name of Krishna. So, in the context of this section, it is part of the answer to what is the highest good. So what is the supreme good? Chanting the holy names. There's nothing more auspicious, no better way to spend your time and your energy, the human form of life, than to perfect the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. If you become a perfect chanter, you become liberated, you go back to Krishna. Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. It is extremely powerful. So, in context of the previous verses, the previous verse addressed that the supreme good is to learn to overcome fear, bhaya. Fear is like one of the enemies of the conditioned soul. It is one of the principal ways that we become conditioned by material life. Right? Hands up if you have fear. Or most of us do. Right? Most of us do. About something or other, or many things. We are fearful. This is how Maya traps us in this world. Because in the spiritual world, there is no fear. No one is fearful. Right? But in the material world, we take it very seriously. I'm scared of this, I'm scared of that. Especially we are scared of death. Right? But all of these things are illusion, because there is no birth, there is no death. That's just the conditioning of the material world. The conditioned soul thinks there is birth, he thinks there is death. And because they are thinking there is birth and death, then we have fear in this material world. So in this verse, this verse teaches us how to overcome fear. Right? How do we overcome fear? By cultivating our chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Right? This is the way to overcome fear. Right? It's a cultivation, though. It's not automatic. You can't just say, oh, I just chant Hare Krishna now. No, it's a cultivation. But if you establish your relationship with the holy name, you will overcome fear. All ignorance is overcome. So it is an extremely powerful verse. This verse shows the consciousness of a liberated soul. How a liberated soul is situated. Always engaged in chanting. Now, in the purport, in the first paragraph that we just read, it describes that we must chant the name of the local authority. So we are now in Kali Yuga. In Dwapara Yuga, you chant the name of Krishna. In Kali Yuga, you especially chant the name of Gauranga, because he is the Yuga avatar. So therefore, it is said, before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we chant the Panchatattva Mantra, because we glorify Gauranga and his associates. And by their mercy, they free us from obstacles in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, why do we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Because it was the order and the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you chant the holy name of Krishna. He said, chant. Now, so we chant the Maha Mantra based on his authority. Otherwise, because he is the Yuga avatar, we might be chanting the Panchatattva Mantra all the time. But he says, no. You chant my name, you get benefit, purification, and then permission to chant the Maha Mantra, and then you worship Radha Krishna. So it is by his authority that we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay. Any points so far?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has established that Bhagavatam is the best.
Yeah.
It
privacy. I am not afraid of death, but I am afraid of the people.
Of what people?
People try to harm you?
Then you come and live with me and then we will protect you. If they come to harm you, we will beat them. What is the problem?
Sometimes relations demise.
Yeah.
You want money?
Yeah. You get the stick and whack. It always ends. Okay. Atish, you want to read the next? Yeah, second. Tonight we're only going from verses 39 to 43 because some of these verses you'll see are some of the most important verses in the whole Bhagavad Gita.
According to Srila Sridhar's Swami, this blissful process of chanting the holy names of the Lord without any material conception is called Sugama Marga, a very enjoyable path. Similarly, Lord Krishna has described the process of Bhakti Yoga as Susukham Karta, very joyfully performed. And Sri Lochan Das Thakur has sung Sabhavatara Sara Siromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process for worshipping Krishna is Kevala Ananda Kanda, simply joyful. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada has stated that people in any part of the world can assemble, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, read from authorized books such as Bhagavad Gita as it is, and accept Krishna Prasadam sumptuously, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did in Navadvipa.
And then one more paragraph.
Yeah. To be successful in this program, however, Lochan Das Thakur has warned Vishaya Chadiya, one must give up material sense gratification. If one indulges in material sense gratification, surely he will be in the bodily concept of life. One who is in the bodily concept of life may undoubtedly have a materialistic understanding of the past and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, by considering the Lord's past and mundane, one will come within the category of Mayavad or impersonalism, in which one considers this transcendental body of the Lord to be a creation of material nature. Therefore, the word Asanga in this verse is very significant. One must chant the holy name of the Lord without mental speculation. One must accept Lord Krishna as he presents himself in Bhagavad Gita, wherein he states that he alone is Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that his transcendental form is eternal, ajo api san avyayatma.
So, here it is said that the process is easy and joyful. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the greatest source of bliss. Most of us can attest, or we can say, that we have experienced our highest bliss whilst chanting the Maha Mantra. That is our deepest ecstasy. But the problem is we don't stay on that platform. Sometimes we have that experience of how blissful it is to chant the holy name, but it does not stay. So it's a cultivation. We should get to that state every day in our chanting, but it takes serious effort. Right? And then you can get to the point where you can relish the bliss. The process is easy, but we are complicated. We make it very complicated, because we have material desires. Vishaya, Chariya, Narottam Das Thakur says, because we're attached to sense gratification, it becomes difficult to chant the holy name purely. So here, it is being described. You have to give up if you want to become successful. Give up your attachment to karma and jnana, sense gratification, artificial philosophy, and then you will understand the holy name of Krishna purely. And if you understand the holy name of Krishna, if you can cultivate Shuddhana, pure name, then you can transcend this material. So, any points? Inattention while chanting. This is the biggest cause of offense. This is why we don't advance in Krishna consciousness, because the chanting is not attentive. You have to cultivate a relationship, a sambandha, with the holy name. Kartik is coming now. less than 1 month, the Kartik will start. So already I'm thinking about deepening my chanting and deepening my bhakti and like this. The opportunity is coming. Okay. So read the next paragraph. Jagannath Rumpel.
Srila Sukadeva Goswami has emphasized Jnani Shastra Dwara Sat Parampara Dwara Chadoke Gitani Janmani Karmani Chad Tani Chinambal Gayam. If one wants to be successful in chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, one must adopt the process as it is coming down in the Sat Parampara, the transcendental disciplic succession. And the Sat Parampara can be identified by reference to bona fide Vedic scriptures. Contrary to the opinion of uninformed critics, the followers of Krishna consciousness are not mindless or fanatical. They intelligently follow the system of checks and balances called Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. That is, one must accept a bona fide spiritual master, who must in turn be confirmed by the opinion of great saintly persons and revered scriptures. If one accepts a bona fide spiritual master, follows the example of great saintly persons, and becomes conversant with authorized literature, such as Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, one's program of chanting the holy names of the Lord and hearing about the Lord's pastimes will be completely successful. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma Karma Chame Vidyam Evam Vyavaditas Vatara Sekva Devam Pulam Janma Naiti Manu Shikavata. One who knows the transcendental nature of appearance and activities does not want leaving the body. Take his birth again in the material world,
and take his eternal
abode. Any points? Chanting to be successful, one should read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, that's good.
Or vice versa also. If you chant perfectly, then you will understand the Bhagavad Gita better.
Yeah, good.
Prabhupada cautions us not to do bona fide. Though the mantra will be there, but it's touched by the lips of the serpent, the Prabhupada says, it will have mouthful lips. We are emphasizing the connection of getting the mantra also from bona fide source. The mantra is powerful, but if you get it from an but if you do offenses, it will not take effect. If you take it from an bona fide source, also it will not.
So there's a nice statement here. It says that if one wants to be successful in chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, you want to be successful in chanting, then, it says, one must adopt the process as it is coming down in the Sat Parampara, the transcendental disciplic succession. You have to learn to chant the holy name as it was chanted by our previous acharyas. But then it becomes effective. What's one of the most effective ways to improve your chanting? How can we improve our chanting?
Chanting the social chant of the Lord is especially in the morning hours.
Especially what?
In the morning hours.
It's very powerful. For me, the most powerful way to improve my chanting is I go to the samadhis of the previous acharyas. Right? So every year I try to go. Now that's why I go to Mayapur, right, to Vrindavan, to Puri. And you chant at the samadhi of Gorgashodas Babaji Maharaj and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj and Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, right, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. By chanting at these places, it is the most powerful way to improve my chanting. Because you have to learn to chant through the example set by the previous acharyas. You enter deeply into their mood. Prabhupada says, if you're a little advanced, you don't have to be a very advanced devotee, but just Prabhupada said, you're a little advanced, you will feel the presence of the acharya at the samadhi. The more advanced you are, the more you can reciprocate with them. Even if you become a little bit purified, you can hear instructions in your heart from the acharyas. We're not talking about being highly advanced for this to happen. You can have instructions from the acharyas. You can receive their mercy and perceive their mood in chanting. You can read their instructions on chanting, right? And then you can practice chanting in their association, right? And that will elevate you highly to Krishna consciousness. So therefore the process is Harinam Anukirtanam. This is already mentioned in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. The whole process of becoming perfect, the whole Abhideya, is to chant the holy name following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Right? Your spiritual master connects you to the disciplic succession. Right? Learn the mood of chanting that your guru has. Right? Chant in the association of your guru if you have the good fortune. Right? And in that way, then you can elevate your consciousness. Right? That is the process. Mm. So, the Bhagavatam here is giving us the whole process of how to become perfect. Any points? Okay. So now we'll read the next verse, text number 40. You can read these purports in your own time and study these verses. They're very important, this section of verses. Okay, so what is text 40? Okay. Who is the highest authority in the Krishna consciousness movement?
Mahaprabhu.
Right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the highest authority. What did Lord Chaitanya say about this verse? Right? Canto 11, chapter 2, verse 40. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, what did he say about this verse?
You can get level body.
He said, this verse is the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole Bhagavatam is in this verse. If you understand this verse, you will understand the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't understand this verse, you won't understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. So now you can understand how important this verse is. Okay? It would seem it would be at this point. I don't think there'll be another exam this year because we haven't got many. We've only got 8 classes left. 7 more classes after this. I don't think we'll cover enough to have an exam. So we'll probably just add this section to next year and then we'll have that. So I probably won't give KM verses yet, KMVs. Yeah, I'll probably give them at the beginning of next year. But yeah, a good chance that this will be. It can be. If it's not, then you should learn it anyway. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord. And he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly or cries and shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. So what is being described here?
It reminds me of Rishabdev.
Rishabdev? Okay. What's being described?
Prema Pumartho Mihal.
Yeah. Yeah, Prema. And?
Stages
of Unmada. Yeah, like high, high, high levels of love of God. Now, this is called Prema Bhakti. Prema Pumartho Mahan. Prema Prayojana. This is the goal of Krishna consciousness. To love Krishna in a particular mood. Become attached to a particular form of Krishna. Prabhupada himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, one should only focus on the form of Krishna in Vrindavan, and one should not divert his attention to any other form of God. You just see every other form of God in relation to Krishna in Vrindavan. Right? That's how Lord Chaitanya saw it. That's how Prabhupada himself saw it. So this is the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. These are the highest emotions which the soul can experience in connection to Krishna. So this is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll go to the third paragraph. Where it says Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. So Uddhava Bandhu Prabhu, you like to read them?
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura has warned us in this regard about the ungodly Sahityas who imitate the pastime of the Supreme Lord in an unauthorized way, neglecting the standard injunction of the Vedic scriptures, foolishly trying to take the position of Krishna as Purushottam, and thus making a cheap past of the exalted pastime of the Lord. The so-called ecstatic symptoms like crying, shivering, and falling on the ground are not to be confused with the advanced features of devotional service described by the Sri Swami as Samprapta Prema Lakshana Bhakti Yoga. Srila Prabhupada comments in this regard, one who has attained this bhava stage is no longer under the clutches of the illusory inner, similarly Krishna Dasa Kaviraja state. Panjama Kosharta Premananda Amrita Sindhu Kosharti Ananda Yara Nahi Leta Bindu. For a devotee who has actually developed bhava, love of God, the pleasure derived from dharma, artha, kama, moksha appears like a drop in the presence of the sea. As already stated in the previous verse of this chapter, Dayan, Vilajyo, Zara, Sangha, one exhibits the ecstatic symptom of the love of God, Godhead, when he is asanga, free from all attachment to material sense gratification. The word Loha Baya in this verse indicates that a pure devotee on the platform of Prema, love of Godhead, is not at all concerned with the ridicule, price, respect or criticism from ordinary people in the bodily concept of life. Krishna is the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. And when he reveals himself to the surrendered servant, all doubt and speculation about the nature of the absolute are vanquished forever.
Thank you. So what are the points? So Narottama Das Thakur says, Vishaya Chariya Abe. If we do not overcome our attachment to sense gratification, prema or love of Godhead cannot manifest in the consciousness. Right? It's not possible. Right? That is what stops us from attaining prema or love for Krishna, because we're still attached to the material energy. And as long as we're attached to the material energy, then we cannot become spiritually advanced. We cannot develop full Krishna consciousness. So that is the process, right, of developing love of God. Right? You must do both things. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So all the things that make you forget Krishna, you have to remove them. And then from that point, you have to cultivate always remembering Krishna by absorbing yourself in hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. So, as is mentioned in the fourth paragraph, it says that the symptom of being advanced in Krishna consciousness is that one is not concerned with the material energy, right, and the opinions of materialistic persons. Prabhupada says this in the Krishna book in chapter 30. What is chapter 30 of the Krishna book? 10th canto, chapter 30, what is it? Right. That's part of the Rasa Lila, right? Chapter 29 to 33. So Srila Prabhupada says in one of the, or in his commentary in the Krishna book, he says, the symptom of advancement is that you are becoming more attached to Krishna and less attached to the material energy. Right? If you're still attached to the material energy, to the degree that you're attached, that is how less you're attached to Krishna. To become attached to Krishna means you have to become less attached to the material energy. Right? So it's like the tula. Tula means the scales. Right? If you put too much weight on one side, the other one becomes light. If you put more weight on one side, that one becomes light. So that's how you can see. Are your material desires becoming less? If your material desires are becoming less, the process is working. Right? It means you're applying yourself properly to the process. If your material desires are becoming greater, then you're not applying yourself properly to the process. Right? Because the material desires should shrink as time goes by. That is the symptom of advancement. So this is how you develop love of Godhead. You have to follow the process of Krishna consciousness and then you will develop. So then later in the purport, actually we'll read the fifth paragraph because that's also very good. So Raj, can you read the next paragraph?
In this connection, Sripad Madhavacharya has quoted a verse from the Varaha Purana. Sometimes devotees of the Lord exhibit external symptoms, acting like a madman. Others are introspective devotees, and still others partake of both natures. It is by one's steadfastness and by the merciful vibration emanating from one's mouth that one's devotion can be judged or not otherwise.
Very good. There's a very important statement here. So what is the point which is being drawn out? How do we know how advanced someone is?
Speech.
Right? Two things which are mentioned here. How do you know how advanced someone is? Steadfast. They're fixed in devotional service, not waning and waxing all the time. They have to be very fixed. Balaram Prabhu, who was the previous temple president before Aniruddha Prabhu, so he asked Prabhupada here in Melbourne, he said, what is the qualification for someone to take second initiation, Brahman initiation? What did Prabhupada say? He has to be steady. He has to be fixed. Stira. Right? He has to be fixed. Right? When you're very fixed and steady, nishta, right? That's how you make advancement. Right. You really don't make serious advancement in Krishna consciousness until you get to the platform of nishta. Right. First of all, there is shraddha, then sadhu-sangha, bhajana-kriya, anatta-nivritti, then nishta. Until you get to the platform of nishta, you don't really make serious advancement in Krishna consciousness. On the platform of anatta-nivritti, you're struggling constantly with the material desires. So how will you advance? How can you focus on Krishna if you're always thinking of material sense gratification? Right? So you can't advance very quickly. Right? So therefore you have to give up the material attachments, material desires. Right? And then you can advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? And then you get to the platform of nishta. Nishta doesn't mean the material desires are not there, but they don't affect you so much. You still have desires, but you don't act on them, and you're not so affected. Anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana kamadi navrita. It doesn't mean, the definition of pure devotional service doesn't mean that we don't have material desires, it means we don't act on them. Right? Then you're considered a pure devotee. Right? You're doing uttama bhakti. Right? You're not acting on your material desires. Doesn't mean you don't have them. We all have material desires. Right? Hands up if you don't have any material desires. Right? We all have material desires, but if we're not acting on them, then we advance in Krishna consciousness. Then you get to the platform of nishtha. Nishtha means you're steady and fixed, and that's when you advance in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if you're not steady, you can't advance. I'll do my service sometimes, not the other time. No, you always do your service. Just like Jananivas Prabhu, Pankajangri Prabhu. Right? They've been serving Radha Madhava for nearly 50 years. Right? Before most of you were born. They've been serving Radha Madhava. Right? Nearly 50 years. That is fixed in devotional service. How will they leave this world? Serving Radha Madhava. Right? That is fixed in devotional service. That's how you become advanced. When you go around the Dharma, when you go around Mayapur, you meet pujaris who've been worshipping the deity for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Right? You meet devotees like that sometimes. Right? They're just fixed in devotional service. So these are the two symptoms. First symptom is, one is steadfast. Second symptom is mukha prasad. Right? Mukha prasad, very interesting terminology, the Sanskrit. The prasad, or the mercy which emanates from one's mouth. Does one speak about Krishna? If you're not speaking about Krishna, are you advanced? If you're speaking all sorts of nonsense, you're not advanced in Krishna consciousness. Right? You don't advance properly unless you're speaking about Krishna. Right? Advanced devotees, every time they speak, they're giving prasad. They're giving mercy. Actually, this is the mercy of the advanced devotee. You know, as we said a number of times, devotees always come, oh, Prabhu, give mercy, give mercy. What is the mercy? It's the instruction. It's the shishya. Shishashe teyam sadiman tvam prapa. I will give you shiksha. Shiksha, or the instruction, that is the mercy of the devotee. Yeah. People say, oh, give me your mercy. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Real mercy means when they give instructions, right? The mukha prasad. They guide you how to advance in Krishna consciousness. They correct you. You're not following the process properly, right? That prasad is what helps you to advance in Krishna consciousness. So this is how you understand who is advanced, what they speak, right? And how far that penetrates the heart, right? And how steady and fixed they are in devotional service. And then we understand. Any points?
Once there was a meeting, and Srila Prabhupada was invited, and there were a lot of impersonalists there. And Srila Prabhupada waited and waited, then ultimately just walked out. So Gurudas was there. He said, Prabhupada, now it's next of a turn. Please don't go away. Who is going to speak? That was, you are going to speak. So Gurudas made only one main comment was that you are saying that Rasgulla and stool on this road are the same thing. So the people were very annoyed, you know, the impersonalists. And they reported to the Prabhupada that your disciple is saying such things. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, what he's saying is right. You don't understand. The Prabhupada was so fixed, he didn't want to even sit in those associations.
So read the last paragraph of this this purple. So, Rossi?
Okay. Recommends that we study the following verse in this connection. Parima tatu jaman yatha tatava nanu mukharo na kayam ucharai ma hari rasa muradira rati matta Nubi Virutamo, Amo, Vidi Visam. Let the careless populace say whatever they like. We shall pay them no regard. Thoroughly maddened by the ecstasy of the intoxicating beverage of love for Krishna, we shall enjoy life running about, rolling on the ground and dancing in ecstasy. Pathyavali 73.
So this is extremely advanced level of devotional service. This is how you understand you are attaining love of God. Love of God means that your heart melts because you're completely absorbed in the form of Krishna that you are most attached to. And when you do that, it describes, the acharyas describe, someone may externally exhibit these symptoms which are described here. He may dance and chant like a mad person and like that. Or they may not be exhibited. It may all remain internal, or it may be a combination of both. But this is this symptom. When one becomes actually attracted to Krishna, right, these ecstatic natural symptoms will arise in the consciousness of the person. Once again, these things cannot be imitated, and we don't have to worry about imitating them, because if you start doing it, no one will believe you're on that platform anyway. Everyone will think you're just a cheap fool. So there's no question, none of us are going to do these things. But the point is, this is the goal. Right? The goal is to have so much love for Krishna that these natural emotions will overcome one's consciousness. One will become ecstatic in love of Godhead. Any points?
Being a devotee, how long do this? How long do we disturb by different material situations? What is the platform one should be taking?
That'll be discussed in a couple of verses from now. We'll answer the question. Okay, next verse. A devotee should not see anything as being separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Either fire, air, water, earth, the sun, and other luminaries, all living beings, the directions, trees and other plants, the rivers and the oceans, whatever a devotee experiences, he should consider to be an expansion of Krishna. Thus seeing everything that exists within creation as the body of the Supreme Lord, Hari, the devotee should offer his sincere respects to the entire expansion of the Lord's body. Okay. So, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, can you read the first?
Sri Rajiva Goswami has given this example from the Puranas. Yat pashyati tattva anurag gatishena jagadhyana mayam lupta kamukha kamini mayam iti vat hare sariram. Because of the greedy person's obsession with money, wherever he goes, he sees an opportunity for acquiring wealth. Similarly, a very lusty man notices women everywhere. In same way, pure devotees should see the transcendental form of the Lord within everything, since everything is an expansion of the Lord. It is our practical experience that a greedy man will see money everywhere. If he goes to the forest, he will immediately consider whether it would be profitable to purchase the forest land and sell the trees to the paper mill. Similarly, if a lusty man goes to the same forest, he will look everywhere for beautiful woman tourists who might happen to be there. And if a devotee goes to the same forest, he will see Krishna there. Knowing correctly that the entire forest, as well as the sky canopy above, is the inferior energy of the Lord. Krishna is supremely sacred, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And since everything that exists expands directly or indirectly from the body of the Lord, everything is sacred when seen through the eyes of a self-realized person. Therefore, as stated in this verse, Praname, one should offer one's sincere respect to everything. Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned that we should see the personal form of Krishna everywhere.
What are the points? Yeah, this also answers Raja's question. How do we deal with material association? You have to learn to see Krishna everywhere. Now, that is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Now, everything is related to Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhi Yukta Rai Rakya Uchite. Everything must be engaged in the service of Krishna. If you see the whole material energy like that, then you will never become bewildered by the material energy. Just like most men are attracted to women. Right? Women are attracted to men, but generally women are attracted to men for material facility. But men are attracted to women because of attachment to the bodily form of the woman. Right? So then Prabhupada said, how do we overcome the attachment to the form of the woman? Right? And Prabhupada said, you see them as Krishna's gopis. They don't belong to us, they belong to Krishna. Now, they're not meant for our pleasure, they're meant for Krishna's pleasure. When you see the woman for your pleasure, then you're in Maya. Because then you are thinking of something which is separate from Krishna. But when you're spiritually advanced, you see everything in to be used in Krishna's service. Right? And if it cannot be used in Krishna's service, then you reject it. Nirbandha. If it can be used in Krishna's service, Krishna's sambandhi, you use it in Krishna's service. That is the process of bhakti. So here it is being taught, if we can see something in Krishna's service, then you use it in Krishna's service. If it cannot be used in Krishna's service, then you reject it. That is the whole system. Right. So this is a very deep verse, actually, this particular verse. Because as the acharyas point out, you must learn to see the world like this if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you'll continually be caught in Maya. But eventually, you have to see the world in relation to Krishna. It is not for our pleasure, it is for Krishna's pleasure. Nothing is separate from Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, there is nothing lacking in the material world except Krishna consciousness. Everything in the material world is spiritual when it's used in Krishna's service. Right? This is spiritual energy when it's used in Krishna's service. It becomes purified. So that is the consciousness of the devotee. We have to learn to have that consciousness. And then Maya cannot bewilder us. Then we'll be fully Krishna conscious at all times. So, any points? Just keep a distance from them.
We can't.
You respect them in the sense that you see they're all part and parcel of Krishna,
yeah.
But because they're bewildered by Maya, we are not sentimental. We don't sentimentally accept their behavior.
So we should not associate?
No, you shouldn't associate. A Majjhamadikari devotee, he rejects envious people. You keep a distance. Even sometimes devotees are envious. So those devotees you keep a distance from.
Anybody who is envious.
Anyone who's envious, yeah. Or else beat them with a stick. That's why Krishna gave you the walking stick. Oh, if they're envious, just whack them. So, you're old now, no one can do anything. You just hit them. Okay? If the police come, you say, how could I do it? I didn't. Just whack them. You will get away with it. Okay, any other points?
What you said, I was in a lecture in Vrindavan a few years back by Navyogin Goswami from Jammu. So he was telling that whenever you see a beautiful woman, think she is an expansion of Radharani.
Very nice. Okay, now text 42. You will recognize text 42. Prabhupada would quote this verse. Very important verse in our philosophy. And it answers the question, how do we attain? What is the question being answered? Yes. How do we attain the supreme good? Well, so this is part of the answer, these 10 verses, 11 verses. Right, so it's a very important verse. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things. These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way that the pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. So, nice purport, long purport. It discusses that devotional service breeds detachment. Once again, you cannot advance in Krishna consciousness until you become detached from this world. Right? In the purport, in the third paragraph, so we'll read the third paragraph. So, Mahatma Prabhu, can you read that?
The word virakti. The word virakti is very similar in this verse. Virakti means detachment, whereas tya means renunciation. According to the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur, the word renunciation can be used in situations in which one considers giving up an enjoyable also. But by considering everything to be potential paraphernalia in the service of Lord Krishna, as described in the previous verse, one need not give thought to renunciation. For one uses everything in proper way in service of Lord. Yuktam vairagyam uchitam. Yukta vairagyam.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so what are the points there? Speak up, sorry.
Idam Krishnaya nothing is solid. You see, everything has a property of the Lord. There is nothing to do. Devamrata Maharaj is a famous example. He says, you go up and say, I know Citibank. Citibank was never used to know very much. What are you doing? He promised nothing to do. Everything belongs to you. So, provide of more than them. Because sometimes renunciation will be pride.
Yeah, very good. So, nicely pointed out here by Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur, the difference between virakti and tyaga. Right, so what is the difference? Right, tyaga. Tyag means renunciation. Right? Virakti means detachment. Right? So, like, we're attached to so many things in this world. Like, I might be attached to my watch. Right? Why am I attached to my watch?
Because you get time to see that.
Because your friend gave it.
Because why?
Because you get time.
Now, who said? Yeah, Radha Balabha Prabhu gave it to me. Actually, I am attached to the watch. Because he gave it to me. It's also a shock watch, right? So you can drop it all day long, it doesn't break. Oh, Krishna. Okay.
Now you're the history.
You can drop it all there, it doesn't break.
That's why. It's a shock watch, right?
So he gave that to me as a gift. Right, so I'm attached to the watch, right? So there is a difference in this world between virakti and tyag. Tyag means you know that it is not good for you to be attached. So you give it away, right? But then still you might be thinking about it. Virakti means you are detached. So if it is there or not there, it's okay. No? Virakti means actually detached from the material world. That's how we have to become. Right? In the beginning, we may practice tyag or renunciation. Right? We do it so that we become detached from the material energy. That's why we go into the brahmachari ashram, for example. Most of the brahmacharis, they'll end up getting married. Most of them. Maybe Gopa Vrindesh Prabhu has a good chance. Right? Because I can see in his consciousness, he's quite naturally renounced. Just naturally. It's not like a forced thing. Right? And not like there's no material desire there, but there is less material desire. So therefore, there's a very good chance that he will stay like that. But for most people, right, when they go into the brahmachari ashram, then it is practicing renunciation. It means you're not actually detached. Actually, you're very attached to the material world. And therefore, because you're attached to the material world, you have to force yourself to give up your attachments. Right? But the higher level that we need to come to is that we're just automatically detached. Right? We're not attached to the material world. Right? And that comes when you cultivate bhakti properly. If you don't cultivate bhakti properly, you won't come to that level. Right? Because it says here, right, what is the proof that you're becoming advanced? Right? Those three things will take place. You'll get devotion. Right? Then you'll directly experience Krishna, means you'll get realization, right? And then you'll become detached, right? So when you practice devotion, those things will begin to manifest, right? Your devotion will increase. You just want to do more and more Krishna conscious activity. You want to do more bhakti, more devotional service, right? That's how you know you're advancing, right? You're advancing because all you want to do, you just want to do kirtan, right? You just want to do study. You want to go to classes. You want to chant the holy names. You want to worship the deities. You want to visit the dharma. You want to associate with devotees. Right? That's the symptom. Just naturally you're advancing, right? And then realization will come of the Supreme, right? You gain deep realizations of Krishna. Now, Krishna begins to manifest within your consciousness. And then?
Detachment.
You become detached from material things. You're not attracted to them. Not attracted. So this is the symptom of how you're advancing Krishna consciousness. So Bhagavatam is saying, this is how you realize if you're advancing, these things will take place. So, any points? I read it. Okay, last verse for tonight.
Well, one thing, Prabhupada, it says, considering everything to be potential for a family. But the thing is, there are some things which we can't use, like thorny fruit or something.
So then you reject those things.
Okay. service.
Some things you can't use in Krishna's service, so you reject it. Okay, final verse. My dear King, the devotee who worships the lotus feet of the infallible personality of Godhead with constant endeavor thus achieves unflinching devotion, detachment, and experienced knowledge of the personality of Godhead. In this way, the successful devotee of the Lord achieves supreme spiritual peace. So everyone wants to be peaceful. It is mentioned Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Bhakti Nishkama Ata Eva
Shanta.
Shanta. A devotee is naturally
peaceful.
Right? But peace only comes from real devotion. Right? You have to be actually devoted to Krishna. If you're cultivating genuine devotion, you will become peaceful. If your devotion is too much contaminated by material desires, you'll not be peaceful. Right? Because the material desires will always be disturbing your consciousness. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale, ashanta. You'll never become peaceful. So this is the answer for the supreme good. What is the supreme good? These 11 verses describe. So tonight some of the most important verses were covered.
Very significant verses.
So you should study this deeply, this chapter. Srila Prabhupada.